Thank you, Sister Penny. Church, let's pray. Dear God, this morning, would you please help us to see you for who you are, ourselves for who we are, our sin for what it is? Would you help us to be broken and mournful and disgusted over our sin? Would you help us to be so shaken and so stirred out of our habits and our complacency? Would you help us? Dear God, would you revive us again? Would you move us to compassion once again? God, would you restore unto us the joy of thy salvation? God, will you just help me preach? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said this morning in Sunday school that if you all just wanted to go home right now, that would be okay because I could go back in the office and preach into the mirror, because putting this week's sermons together, this sermon, it was one of those times when I felt like, well, God, this is so much you just preaching to me and just working on me. Is it even for anybody else? I know it is, because he doesn't waste time. But I know that God is just working on me and stirring me in this area. I got a feeling that he's working on more than one of us. But I want you to know the preacher ought to preach to himself first and make sure that he has things right. And I don't preach this sermon to you this morning as someone who has got this all figured out. And I'm not talking about the verses, but I'm saying this issue that we're going to deal with this morning is not something that your pastor just sails by and doesn't have any problem. I'm telling you, this is something here that God has really been working on me, not just this week, but for months now, the cry of my heart has been, God, let me see you for who you are. God, just break me. Break me down and build me back up. Did you know that over years of Christianity, if you're not careful, you can just kind of fall into a rut and you can get kind of complacent and you're just not really, you know, you're thankful, but you've kind of forgotten what God has done for you. You still tell people what God has done for you, but it's kind of, we let things of the world in and we kind of get a little callous, maybe get a little numb. My prayer is that if you're in that boat, if you get to that place for whatever reason, my prayer is that we would all join together and say, God, just help us like we used to make a big deal out of Jesus. Church, we ought to make a big deal out of Jesus. You know why? Because he is a big deal. He is, and I'm afraid we don't make as big a deal out of our Savior as we ought to. Last night before we went to bed, I was flipping through the channels and all the sports highlights were on. That's number three. The sports highlights were on. And we're not sports people, but this is the third illustration that I've used on sports today. That'll do me till the end of the year. And they're showing clips from games and everything. They always show the crowd. And there's always some dude in paint, no shirt on, Just body paint, top to bottom. And I don't even know what team this was. I think it was Michigan or something. He was green. The dude was just, he had no shirt on. He just green paint and had this big blow-up helmet thing on his head. And he's in the screen and he's screaming and yelling. You know those guys that get up, you know, four of them get up and they've got painted, you know, team, or five of them get up and it's Colts or something, and you know, on their bellies, one's the C and one's the O, and they're all, you know, it's 20 below out there, and they're out there, you know, with the team names written on their belly, you know, and the two guys on the end get mixed around so the word isn't spelled right because they're drunk. But anyhow, you know, they're out there and everybody else is freezing and they've got their shirts off and everything, and they're just screaming and yelling. They're making a big deal out of their team because they think their team is a big deal. I better slow down here. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Church, we ought make a big deal out of our Savior. He's the only one worthy of us making a big deal out of. I am not a big deal. If you came here today thinking you were, please allow me to burst your bubble, because you're not a big deal either. That's what God's Word tells us, that we ought not think more of ourselves than what we should. And your team is not a big deal. And your house and your car and your job, it's not a big deal. I'm not saying that your house and your job and everything aren't important, but I'm telling you, it's just not a big deal. It gets old and it decays and it falls apart, and then you need a new one, and this breaks down and that breaks down, and just not a big deal. God Himself became a man and lived a perfect life and died on a cross because He loved the people that drove the nails into His hand and pierced His side. And as Sister Penny sang, put that crown of thorns on His head. People who would spit on Him and mock Him, and many of those people who still wouldn't believe. And He was still dying for it. That's a big deal. And shame on us just because we're 2,000 plus years away from when it actually took place on this earth for letting it grow cold in our hearts. Mark chapter 11, verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, let's read 8 through 11. Remember, we've been reading about His triumphal entry into the city on this colt. And I apologize for those of you. I don't know why last week's bulletin said the borrowed goat. I don't know why I wrote goat. That wasn't a spell check problem. I don't know. My notes said colt. Christ didn't ride a goat. That's just your pastor. I don't know why I did. I don't know. I typed in goat. In your bulletin last week, it said borrowed goat. It was a colt. So here he is coming into the city, and the Bible says, and many, well, let's go back to verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. Now verse 9, and they that went before and they that followed whispered, said, what's it say? Cried. They that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I want to make a few points here before we really get into the heart of this sermon this morning. First of all, I want you to notice these people, these average people. Christ appealed to and was surrounded by just average people like you and I. Well did James point out the danger of riches. In the book of James, James points out that the poor man and the rich man should both be happy. And basically what he tells us is that let's just look at it real quick in James. Oops. Let me find it here. It should be chapter 2. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. What that's saying is, the rich ought to be glad that money doesn't matter to God because they don't have any. Or the poor. The poor should be glad that money doesn't matter to God because the poor don't have any. The rich should be glad that money doesn't matter to God because they could lose it like that. And so here are these simple, average people. They don't have horse blankets. They don't have anything expensive to throw over the back of this colt. They just take their, since they took off their garments, probably their outer, they used to wear an outer garment, an outer coat. That's probably what they took off. Took those off and laid them over. Took those and laid them in the way. Just average people of average means. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, if you turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not to bring to naught things that are, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The Bible makes it clear God oftentimes uses plain, simple people, plain, simple means to get his work done. Because they are, you know, remember just when we were looking at the rich young ruler, Jesus didn't say that a rich person couldn't be saved, but he said it was hard for them. And why is it hard? Because they don't see their need for Christ when all of their financial needs are met and they think that they're well off. So Christ, oftentimes, when he has a job that needs to be done, finds a more willing heart in a simple, lowly person. And I'll tell you what, I want to be a simple, lowly person that God can use. I don't want anything in the way that would make it so that he couldn't use me. And so the point here is, you, no matter what your position in this life, no matter what your financial situation is, you can be used by God, and you've been instructed to let God use you. He's instructed all of us to carry out the Great Commission, to tell people about the gospel, to tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not up to you whether or not they get saved. It's just up to you to tell them what they need to know to get saved. And God takes it from there. Now, what they did, and here's really what I want to focus on this morning. I want to look at those average people, but here's really what we need to see. What these people did might not seem like much. I mean, they just took their garments off and laid them over the colt, and then they took their garments off and laid them in the path, and then they laid down these branches. It might not seem like much to us reading it, but this laying down of branches is what they used to do when kings would come home, when a king would enter the city on his steed. They'd take these branches down and lay them in the way. And here they are, laying down these branches. It doesn't matter that the man they're doing it for is sitting on the back of a borrowed colt, not a big, full-grown, mighty steed. We're not talking about a big thoroughbred here with flaring nostrils. And you know, you ever been up close to a horse? They're big, strong, sometimes scary animals. Do you know they can bust your nose with theirs? You got to watch where that horse moves his head. He is so powerful, he can break your nose. It doesn't matter that this colt is borrowed. It doesn't matter that it's a colt, a tiny, you know, it's not much more than a baby. Just big enough to support a man. What matters is the one who's sitting on its back is making his entry the way that kings do, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it's not the leaves, the branches, it's not the garments that he's sitting on, it's not even the colt. It's him. It's Jesus. And these people coming into this city are making such a big deal out of Jesus. Such a big deal that this same story in Matthew, these words aren't here in Mark, but Matthew points out that whenever they came into the city crying, Hosanna, you know what that means? Hosanna means save now. They come into this city, and they're crying, Hosanna, save now. This is the man that we've waited for. Here he is. We're not talking about sitting in the crowd waiting for the president to come out and make a speech. We're not talking about showing up 2 hours early because somebody's favorite politician or musician is going to come out and then they walk out on stage. Here's the man who is the fulfillment of prophecy coming to save mankind of his sin. They're screaming, they're crying out, save now. Here's who we've been looking for. They're making such a big deal out of Jesus that Matthew tells us the other people asked a question and they said, who is this? They are making such a big noise, such a big commotion, a big deal out of the Savior that the other people want to know, who is this? And so, church, the question this morning is this. Are you making such a big deal out of our Savior? For one, are you making a big deal out of Jesus? Is he even a big deal to you anymore? Are we making such a big deal out of Jesus that the people around us can't help but say, who is this that you're talking about? Who is this Jesus? That's all you ever talk about is Jesus. That's all you ever talk about is God and the Bible and church. What is this all about? Or is it, oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. Shame on us. Shame on us that people have to be told that we're a Christian before they saw it with their own eyes. And maybe they didn't know that we were a Christian. Maybe they didn't know what the difference was, but they ought to be able to see, he's not like everybody else. I don't know really what he's all about, but I know it has something to do with this guy named Jesus. Well, you can't talk to that guy without it coming around to Jesus. Every time I call him on the phone, it always ends up being about Jesus. Did you know that somebody made the statement one time, well, you know, you can go a little overboard. You can go a little overboard for a man who left heaven and came to earth and died for your sin, yours, mine, took what I deserved, saved me from what I deserved, took upon himself what he didn't deserve, knowing that many people were never going to put their faith in him and what he did, lived a perfect life. The Creator God became as one of his creation and went to the cross. And now you don't have to spend forever. You don't have to spend eternity in the flames of hell. And somebody's going to try to tell me, well, you know, you can go a little overboard. You know what? Overboard means over the edge of the ship. You can't go overboard to Christ. You can't even get close enough to the edge to even risk going overboard for Christ. There is no going overboard. Just when you think you've gone overboard, I would contend that we're just barely scratching the surface of where we ought to be. You say, oh, but Pastor, no, it's because we don't make a big deal out of Jesus anymore. We don't make a big deal. We don't make such a big deal out of Jesus that people look and say, who is this? Who is this that you're talking about? They say, oh, well, everybody knows that I'm a Christian. What do they know? Do they know what that means? Do they know why? They know where that word Christian comes from. What do they know about Christ from our lives? Go to Isaiah. I believe we want chapter 9. Yeah, we want chapter 9. While you're turning there, I'll say this. We got our new CD recorder, which means I don't have to be tied to that one piece of equipment. It's nice to be back, folks. I used to come down here and preach until I started using that one thing and I was tied to it, and it's nice to be back in familiar territory. Isaiah chapter 9. We go to verse 6. You say, oh, you can't read that. It's not December yet. For unto us a child is born. I just stop here a minute. For unto us a child is born. You part of us? You know what? For unto Grant a child is born. For unto Pat a child is born. For unto Colin a child is born. For unto, look, he was born for me. And yes, he was born for you, but I just can't get over the fact he was born for me. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called, now look what the Bible says, Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. There's a lot of stuff in this world, in our lives, that we call wonderful that's not even close to being wonderful. At best, it's just kind of okay. Amy and I, we took the kids to the zoo Thursday. Clayson hadn't been to a zoo yet. And all he's been wanting lately is to go to a zoo and see a monkey. That's his thing, monkeys. He brought a monkey with him today. He brought three of them. They're sitting right over here. Yeah. All he wanted to do is see a monkey. But you go in there and you read the names of some of these animals, and some of them are like, you know, the great this and the great that. You know, that's what their names are, the great whatever monkey. And every time I see that, I always tell Amy, I say, average at best. We overuse a lot of words. We overuse the word love. The same word that we use to talk about our Savior and our spouse, we use it for pizza and fishing and our new car. We overuse the word awesome. We overuse the word wonderful. Wonderful, full of wonder. You know, pizza smells good and tastes good and I like it, but I never stare at it full of wonder. Who's going to waste time staring at the pizza when you could be eating it? It's a wonder I haven't eaten it yet. The Bible says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Church, can I tell you this morning, in case you have forgotten, Jesus Christ is wonderful. Jesus Christ is full of wonder. Jesus Christ is so wonderful that you and I ought be making a big deal out of him. And I'm afraid that when I enter the city, I'm afraid that when I walk into wherever it is, I'm afraid that people don't know that I serve a wonderful Savior. I'm afraid that they know a lot of things about me, but maybe what they don't know is that I serve a wonderful Savior. And first and foremost, I want them to know I serve a Savior who is wonderful. I want my life to be such that people know not just, well, he's a nice person, he's this, he's that, he's honest. I want them to know, first and foremost, John Grant Utley serves a wonderful Savior. And if they don't know him, I want their question to be, who is this? Just as we're told in Matthew, who is this? I'm afraid that people know that I'm a pastor and they know that I'm married to Amy and that I have 4 children and that they know that I believe the King James Bible, and they know where I pastor, and they know all these things. Who cares? Would to God that people would know we serve a wonderful Savior because we make such a big deal out of him. He didn't come in. He came into the city quietly, but the people around him weren't quiet. He's here, he's here, he's here. We ought to make a big deal and tell people, he's been here, he's done it, it's finished. You're going to hell and you don't have to. I was going to hell and now I'm not. He's a huge deal. He's a big deal. He's wonderful. But I'm afraid we get to that place where we're afraid to make too much noise because we don't want to be labeled. We won't be labeled anything. We won't be labeled a fanatic. We won't be labeled a zealot. You mean someone who's zealous about God? It's not fanatical to paint your body green and put a wedge of cheese on your head and go out in 20-degree wet weather and lose your voice and get drunk and throw up on the way back to the car and everything. But, excuse me, brother, it's a gospel tract. Can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Oh, you're a fanatic. Ooh. You're a fanatic. Well, okay, I'm a fanatic. I'm a big fan of Jesus Christ. So what if we let it do to us? Just leave a tracker. Okay, is the waitress in the back yet? Can we get out the door before she comes back and finds the track? How about, you know what, just in case something happens to that track, I'm going to stand here and wait till the waitress comes out and give her 5 more. You know, we've become so afraid of man and so concerned about what man thinks. We don't want to be labeled a fanatic. We've stopped making a big deal out of Jesus. You say, oh, but I really don't care what man thinks. And some people don't. And you know what else we've done? We've just gotten so encumbered. We've just let so many things come in and weigh us down. We've just let so many things distract and pull that we have just stopped making a big deal out of Jesus. He is a big deal. What he did for you was a big deal. I'd hate for us to stand before him and finally realize how big of a deal he is. Would to God we would understand today how big of a deal he is and start making a big deal about him. Church, why don't we preach on the street? Really, why do we not preach on public street corners and public parks and public parades and public events? Now, come on, we could say, well, it's because guys like Westboro Baptist Church and these guys that get out and don't know what they're talking about and get out there and botch up the scripture and hate people and everything. It's because of that. We don't want to be labeled, well, yeah, it's a nice try, but that's not why we don't do it. Because if we're honest, we'd say, boy, we got to get out there. Those people are out there doing it wrong and leading people to hell. We got to get out there. Why don't we do it? People say, well, you know, I don't think Jesus would have done it that way. You don't know your Bible because Jesus did do it that way. Every prophet, every preacher in the Bible and Jesus himself preached in public, went and met the people where they were and preached the gospel, preached the word of God to them. Going out and finding people and preaching. You know what this in here is? This is where we gear up and put the armor on and get strengthened up to go out there. We've just stopped going out there. Oh, I mean, somebody might call me a name. Oh, but they might not like it. No, they're not going to like it. They've never liked it. Why don't we? I don't like the answer, but I'm telling you the truth. We've just gotten scared. And we've just stopped making a big deal out of Jesus. If he was as big a deal to us as he ought to be, as he was to these people, I don't think anything could stop us from hitting the sidewalks and hitting the streets and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not, in case you haven't noticed, they're not flooding in here to hear it. Okay, we've not had to put any extra chairs. And as long as I've been here, as long as I've been here, 95% of the visitors that we have, whether they stay or not, seem to be people who are already saved or who have at least grown up in church and have a knowledge. The lost people don't come in here because they know they don't belong in here. They know that this is a place where saved people go. When I say they don't belong, I don't mean they're not welcome, but they know, hey, that's where those Christians go, and that's not what I am. That's right. You know where lost people go? They go to school, they go to the park, they walk down the sidewalk. And all the prophets and all the preachers in the Bible went and met them there, and we don't. We just don't make a big deal out of Jesus anymore. Make a big deal out of everything else but him. What else does the Bible tell us here in verse 6, Isaiah 9 and 6? His name shall be called Counselor. I want to make such a big deal out of Jesus that people know I get all of my direction from him, that he's my counselor, and that he's my advocate. The mighty God. I want to make such a big deal out of Jesus that people know how mighty he is, that he's not Allah, that he's not Buddha, that he's not Confucius, that Gandhi didn't serve the God that I do. I want people to know there is one and only one God, and that is the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, and he's mighty. And the Bible tells us this, he's mighty to save. I want to make such a big deal out of Jesus that that's what people see. And church, I'm just afraid that I have gotten just so in the routine and so bogged down and so complacent that I sometimes find myself just trying to keep my head above water. It's awful hard to make a big deal out of Jesus when you feel like you're just trying to keep your head out of the water. You know what? I take pastoring this church very seriously. I take my responsibilities here very seriously. But big deal if I come in here every week and do the office work and make the calls and make the visits and do the sermons if my life doesn't make a big deal out of Jesus. What good is any of that going to do me or you or anybody or any lost person if first and foremost my life is not all about making a big deal out of Jesus? You know why it's easy for us to just decide, I don't think I'll go back tonight. Once a week's enough. I'm not talking about some people have limitations, physical limitations and different limitations that they can't be at every service. And look, we understand that. But let's deal with those times when you and I, I can't do this anymore. Back before I was pastoring, when I, Sunday night would come along, and it would be, it was a rough week, you know. Come on, I don't know how many times I've done it. I don't know how many times you have done it. And I'm not going to get up here and say, you know what, if you're not here every time the doors are open, you're not saved and you don't love God, get real, that's nonsense preaching. I am saying this, though, each and every one of us, if we're honest, know that there are times when we just decide, I'm not going back for that service or that service, or we decide, you know what, I'm not going to pass out a tract. You know, I'm not going to witness that. Just because. I'm just tired and don't feel like it. I contend that if we would make a bigger deal out of Jesus, we'd be so thirsty and so hungry. We'd just be a bunch of sponges sitting in here soaking it all up. Extra super absorbent. Can't get enough. Because he's that big of a deal to us. We just don't make as big a deal out of him as we should. When people look at my life, do they know that he's the everlasting Father? Church, when people look at my life and your life, do they know, do we make such a big deal out of him? They know that he is the Prince of Peace. Or is the Christian on the job site the one that's always angry and always bitter and always upset and always troubled? You ever met a troubled Christian that everything just destroys them? Where is your peace? Where is your peace? Get it from the Prince of Peace and make such a big deal out of him that people know your peace comes from the Prince of Peace. Be ready always to give an answer. Why would you have to give an answer? Because somebody's asking questions. Why are they going to ask questions? Because it's just something different about you. Here comes Jesus into the city. They are screaming, Hosanna, which means save now. Here's the one we've been waiting on. He's here to save us from our sin. I don't have to go to hell. Here is the fulfillment of all the prophecies we've been reading all of these years. He's here. They're making such a big deal that people say, who is this? You know, there's a lot of things you can just kind of shrug off. You know, the guy that stands by your car as you're leaving the parking lot with a sign asking for money, if he's just standing there holding the sign, you don't really have to deal with it, do you? You just look the other way. And when he gets in front of your car and won't let you move, you kind of have to deal with it. Church, the Christian who just never makes a big deal out of Jesus, your friends, your family members, your coworkers, it's pretty easy for them to just ignore you. You make a big deal out of Jesus, and they have to be confronted with him, and now they've got to deal with it. They have to deal with this thing because they can't get away from it, because they can't get away from you, and all you ever do is make a big deal about that guy named Jesus. They made a big deal out of him, and the question this morning is, do we? Do we? Or are we just comfortable and cruising along, just taking it easy? Church, I don't know about you. I get complacent. I get in the groove, I get in the rut, I get lazy. And oh, I don't want to. I want to just be so broken over all of that. I want to be moved. I want to make a big deal out of Jesus. I want anyone who comes into contact with me, if they only meet me once and never see me again, if someone were to ask them, what do you think that guy was all about? I don't care if they know I pastored a church. I don't care if they know I'm married and how many kids I have and where I live and what my hobbies were. If there's one thing I want them to know, that man was a believer in Jesus Christ. Even if they don't know who this Jesus is, if the opportunity didn't present itself to show that, I want them to know, to at least know, hey, he's all about that guy named Jesus. And I'm afraid people can't say that about me. I'm afraid, for whatever reason, time, duties, we all have this stuff in our life. I'm afraid that we at times just kind of get in the groove. Church, could we just get back to making a big deal out of Jesus? Could we just get back to making him everything because he is? Can we get back to making a big deal out of him because he is a big deal? Can we get back to making him number one because he is number one? Look, he's already a big deal. He's already the most important. He's already number one. We're just the ones who don't always proclaim that with our lives and with our words. Let's pray.